When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And as many of you are no doubt aware and sick to death of, been a little obsessed with a lot of conversation that has been rolling out of the marketing and branding and business talk spawned out of last week's Art and Story episode. What was it? 141, the big online presence. But here's the good news is what I'm going to talk about today has very little to do with that, or at least is a closing piece on it without going too much into this whole branding stuff. I'm not going to talk about business anymore. I'm going to talk about, sort of artistic development and artistic managing of yourself in the face of all this stuff that we have to think about. Because throughout all of this discussion I've been having on and off mic with people, because you guys in the forums just totally activated our imaginations, got us thinking really hard about this stuff. Throughout the discussion, we came around and around to this whole idea of, at least I did, of definitions. What is your mission? What is your message? What do you hope other people will feel about you? And the conclusion I came to, or rather, one of the things I proposed to the wife, my wife Anne, was throughout all this discussion, I was just getting so hung up on context, definitions, and things like that. And I said to Anne, just offhandedly, it was late. I said, sometimes I feel like I'm pretty square. Am I too square because I think about this stuff too much? And she said to me, as all good wives should when asked a stupid question like that, well, if you have to ask, then you probably are. And immediately I felt pretty crestfallen, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm a square. But then I quickly bounced back because I knew that she was trying to help. And I was going down this hole to where I was beginning to take what I was saying, thinking, and doing way too seriously. And I know that in past Thunder Punches, Art and Stories, anything that I've put my voice on, I have made a big case out of we should take this stuff seriously. And yes, we should. However, there's a danger in taking this too seriously. And I find myself constantly skirting the edges of that dark land of taking things too seriously. And that's like fetishizing rules, coming up with definitions and contexts and classifications of importance. I like to make a lot of charts, and I like to break down a discussion into generalizations just for the purposes of demonstration. However, if we start to take these charts seriously, if we start to take these definitions too seriously, I'm going to quote Joseph Campbell again. I haven't done that in a while. I think I'm due. He said that anybody who does that, anybody who defines their life by contexts, classifications, and realms of importance will find themselves losing all the experience of living life. And that's kind of a self-helpy way of talking, and Campbell's famous for that, and that's why he's got a whole bunch of people who've made a virtual religion out of everything he said, and that's why I always qualify my statements when I talk about Campbell. But I think there's a grain of truth in there, is that sometimes we just need to relax and just operate. Well, we need to get back to that center of who we are, that center of that non-defined center, that place of comfort. Going back to an episode where I was talking about what makes you jump up and down on the couch. Where are you as an artist, as a person, most relaxed about yourself? So you're not asking somebody close to you, am I too square? Where are you most comfortable as a person? What is that state of mind where you're most comfortable as a person? And I think we need to constantly go back to that. I mean, I think this is why some people endorse meditation, because I goofed around with that for a while and I found myself being a lot more at ease about things. Not because I was dimming a part of my mind, but because I was putting myself in this kind of like this center place where I wasn't evaluating my actions based on either a rule book or based on somebody else's opinions of me. Gosh, this is such an important thing to do just in terms of your creativity in general, because the moment you start thinking about an audience too much, you know, we can't help but think about an audience. We can't help but think about how somebody's going to respond to what we do, because we're putting our work out there. We're putting our ideas and our emotions out there for others to consume. People are going to respond to that, and we can't help but think about that. It's just going to happen. But if we think about it too much, we can easily find ourselves just constantly doubting everything we say and do, and responding to things rather than interacting with things, if that makes any sense. Let me tell you, an anecdote to back up my point. You know, as I do these analogies to back up my points, I'm realizing more and more that I'm falling into this Bob Newhart show syndrome of where I'm saying to you, the dear listener, Emily, sit down. When I was a boy, such and such happened, and this is what I learned from it. I know I'm doing that. I'm fully aware of it. And I'm not so sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's something that I find helps me get my points across. So going back to my past, I used to be friends with some people in the Detroit area who were all into the mini comics self-publishing scene. And we were, this was pre-internet, and so a lot of us, you know, were pen pals. I mean, one guy in particular who I'd love to track down if I can ever find him, but I can't find him online. His name was Denny Stevens. He did a comic called F-Man. Fantastic comic, hysterical guy. I don't know where he is anymore. I hope I can find him someday. But anyway, some of us who interacted, we actually passed around phone numbers, and we would just have, you know, occasional phone chats, as a lot of cartoonists do. And when I was on the phone one day with one guy who I will not name, he said to me, there's no such thing as a good comic story with ninjas in it. And he said it so assuredly. He seemed so confident in his opinion on this that I thought, well, he must have really thought this through. Maybe there's something to this idea. And I remember I felt kind of bad because I had just finished, I don't know, issue 5 or issue 6 of The Front at that time, the self-published digest comics that I did at that time. And yes, indeed, there were ninjas in it because I wanted to do ninja flipping action and cool fight scenes with burst lines behind them and everything. But I remember I avoided it afterwards because, I mean, I was young, I was impressionable, this guy had a strong opinion, and I internalized it and said, well, there must be something to it. But the mistake I made was I didn't ask myself, one, where is this information coming from? And two, I didn't do any research myself on the validity of a statement. And three, I didn't just trust my gut that if I think it's fun, probably other people will think it's fun too. But that's neither here nor there. Where I'm going with this is this. Years later, I found myself using the same language. I remember when I was working on some comics with Tom Root, the joke came up. I think this is when we were doing some Ninja High School stuff. The joke came up in our discussions of doing something with monkeys, monkey humor. And I remember saying, like, come on, monkeys are so played out. Everybody does the joke where the monkey throws the poo at the guy. And so I heard myself say, there's no such thing as a good story with a monkey throwing poo at somebody, because that joke has been beaten to death. And I said it the same way that other friend of mine said that thing about ninjas. And as a result, you know, I had like this sort of rule with Tom, whatever story we do, we cannot have monkey poo jokes. We just won't. Well, fast forward a few years, and I'm working on a book with another writer, and, in the story, he wanted to have a monkey joke, but like the biggest monkey joke ever, like millions of monkeys. And one, it was going to be a pain in the butt to draw, but two, I groaned. I was like, oh, you know, here we go, monkey humor, going for the lowest common denominator, trying to hit the plebs. What is this writer thinking, right? But then I backed up for a moment, and I'm guessing this is maturity. I hope it's maturity. I backed up and thought, well, wait a minute, why am I saying that? Where is this coming from? Do I really hate monkeys that much? Do I really hate the humor of the monkey joke? I remember on an old episode of Art and Story, The Big Cito, it might have been in the 60s someplace as far as episode numbers. He was talking about how in Beauty and the Beast, he worked on that film. He was a storyboard artist and animator. He talked about how a lot of the verbal jokes in the movie didn't translate. Like when they translated the movie and took it to Spain and took it to, you know, other non-English speaking countries, the verbal gags didn't work so good because they didn't translate so well. But the jokes where somebody's pants fall down, those always work. They work in any country. It's a universal gag. And so he said, like, you know, when in doubt, just kick somebody in the butt, have their pants fall down, and you're sure to get a laugh. And when he said that, it made me realize that maybe I'm being a little bit too strict on this thing. Maybe there are exceptions to the rule. And what's more is maybe some things are intrinsically funny. Maybe I ought to mellow out relax about this. In the moment I did that, I realized, yeah, indeed, this monkey joke in this comic is pretty funny, and I'd be missing an opportunity for something funny if I stuck to some kind of rigid definition of who I am as an artist and what I want out of my art. Yes, definitions are important. Yes, having a vision is important. But we should also never forget that we are human after all, and we've got to relax about this kind of stuff every once in a while to allow ourselves to be surprised and to grow as an artist. Probably not everybody has to deal with this as much as I do, because not everybody is super uptight and nerdy about defining everything. I mean, and this is a chicken or egg thing. I don't know if this comes out of doing art and story every week, or if this is something that is just like hardwired into me that allowed me to do art and story every week. I don't know. I guess I got to go see a therapist about that. But it's something I fall victim to, and I'm just sharing this as an opportunity to say, for those of you who do fall victim to this as well, is that it is something we need to remind ourselves of every once in a while, is just relax about this stuff and don't take ourselves too seriously. There's different kinds of ways of taking yourself seriously, right? It's like you can take yourself seriously in that you can't take a joke, you can't be made fun of, it hurts you, it makes you angry. I don't really fall victim to that so much. I tend to get a good laugh, as long as the joke is funny, I don't mind being made fun of. But when it comes to my comics and it comes to what I want out of my comics, I can get just murderously angry sometimes about people who don't live up to my standard when I'm working with them and stuff. I'm murderously angry. That's an exaggeration. I've never attempted to kill anybody, but shaking with anger because of an argument with somebody over a story or the mission of a story. And so once again, I think of that guy who said there's no such thing as a good story with ninjas in it. That's a silly prospect, because that's limiting art. That's limiting storytelling. There are no rules, as we've talked about over and over again. And yet, by constantly defining and exploring this stuff, we can fall prey to a system of rules. And the trick, I think, is to have an openness about it along with a clear mission. This is essentially what I want, but I'm ready to be surprised by things that I thought I didn't want becoming what I wanted. That is so vague, but I hope the gist came across in this one. So I'm feeling more relaxed, and I'm not so obsessed with this anymore. I know marketing is going to come up again and again and again as we talk about this stuff. I want to do an episode soon about, if not the regular art and story, at least the Thunder Punch Daily, about getting over this hurdle of selling your work, because this is something I'm running into with some of the art and storyers, as well as people just generally in life. My brother in particular, I'm pushing him really hard to put his music out there and start making some money off of it instead of just doing it for locally and for his own purposes. And I'm finding the same hesitation in him that I find with a lot of young and beginning cartoonists, is this notion of, well, this is, I can't sell this, or it doesn't even occur to them to sell it. And I'm like, what are you, crazy? And there's so many ways to sell your work nowadays. It just seems a shame to not, if you've got something that you've worked hard on, you should try to make a buck off it, I think. But you don't have to, relax, right? Okay, so who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We could not do it without you. We just rolled out a new feature, and this doesn't necessarily pertain to you guys as much because you're all subscribing, but we're collecting old months of content of the Supreme stuff, and we're selling them as box sets where you don't have to subscribe. You can buy the first month's worth of content with one purchase, and it's delivered to your email box. And the reason I bring it up is that if any of you guys feel the urge to let other people know about this, that would be cool, because it'd be a way for people to test the waters of what's going on behind the scenes with Art and Story Supreme. And if they like what they hear, then hopefully we'll get a few more people to subscribe, thereby getting more people in the forums to increase and enrich the community there. If you want to do a quick Twitter post or a quick blog post or a quick Facebook post about the Supreme box sets, it's on the website, artandstorypodcast.com. It's right in the sidebar. You can find it there. And that'd be cool. But hey, even if you don't, we just appreciate your support in making this Supreme content possible. And doing a lot of office hours lately, and I'm having a ball doing it. So if any of you have who haven't availed yourselves of that service yet, you could just email us at artandstory@gmail.com and just let us know which one of us you want to talk to. As I've said before, cartoonists are my favorite people to talk to, and I get as much out of those office hours as anybody else does, probably more, because for the pure pleasure of talking about comics. So that's something that I wanted to kind of steer your eye at again. Just email us, let us know when you'd like to do it, and we can work into our individual schedules. We've got three cartoonists who are at your disposal to talk about your work and be a supportive art buddy, if not a helpful instructor into making your work or the delivery of your work more effective. Okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
In today's adventure, Stanlin was trapped in an old dark building. He had to face many dangers, from demons to monsters. Now, in your world, there are no demons or monsters, but there's still danger in old dark places. Empty buildings or caves may seem exciting, but you could get badly hurt or trapped in places like that. So stay out of them, even if one of your friends dares you to go in. Taking a risk like that isn't brave. It's just dumb.